Daniel chapter 3, reading from verse 15. These are the words of Nebuchadnezzar to the Hebrew young man. Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from a burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. And we'll read in verse, possibly from verse 16. Daniel chapter 6, verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Now a little farther down at verse 19. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel, and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, forasmuch as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him. Now up until late this evening, I had intended to bring before you the third chapter of the epistle that we've been studying, 2 Thessalonians. But all this afternoon, this question that we have been reading here in the 20th verse of Daniel chapter 6 has been ringing in my heart. Is thy God able? And I just couldn't get away from it. So I concluded that this was the message of God for our hearts tonight. Is thy God able? I want to pass on to you just a few of the thoughts that began to circulate in my mind as I meditated on this verse. Is thy God able? It's rather amusing, if you can see that side of it, when the king, who had a real affection for and respect for Daniel, when he realized that he'd been trapped into something that he couldn't really get out of without casting Daniel into the den of lions, he said what you might paraphrase in this way, That's all right, Daniel, don't worry about it now, just cheer up, old fellow. Your God that you serve is, he's able to take care of you. You know how easy it is to have faith for others. You see, it didn't happen to be him that was going to be thrown into the den of lions. And it was quite an easy thing for him to say, now it's all right, Daniel, don't worry about it. The God you serve is quite able. Then what'd he do? He went home and lay awake all night, tossing to and fro on his bed as he worried and wondered about what was going to happen to Daniel. But instead of that, what you'd expect, Daniel had a very peaceful night while the king had a very disturbed one. We know this story. We've learned it, no doubt many of us, as boys and girls in our Sunday school classes. But now the morning comes, and the king can hardly wait for the light to break. And he hurries down to the den of lions, and he cries out, "Is thy God able? Is thy God able?" He didn't know Daniel's God in the way that Daniel knew it. And what a joy and relief it was to him when the message, the cry came back again from the den of lions, "My God has sent his angel and has shut the mouths of the lion." But I want us to think in a very personal way, and an collective way tonight, of this challenge. Is thy God able? The first thing I thought of when this question began to ring in my heart was back well over 30 years ago when I began to make it known up in my native land of Canada in the assemblies where I was that I was planning on going to the Southland to preach the gospel and to establish some assemblies with the help of God. Now, there are very few assemblies in the entire South at that time. I don't suppose there were a dozen. Below the Mason-Dixon line, that were meeting in the Lord's name alone, as we have sought to do here. And one good, well-meaning brother, well, he said to me, "You know, Harold, you can't establish assemblies in the southern states." I don't know where he got his information. He said, "Several have tried it and have failed." I said to him, "Well, I don't believe they were doing what God wanted them to then if they failed. For if I understand the truth that we're trying to teach assemblies, it should work anywhere in the world. It should work in Canada, in the northern United States, in the southern United States, in Africa and Asia and Europe and anywhere else. If it's God's truth, if it's God's way, it'll work anywhere because the power of God is behind it. And if there's been failure, it's been human failure, not divine failure." Well, I couldn't help but think of the pessimistic words of that good brother, and I'm so happy I didn't allow myself to be deterred by it. I was thinking of the fact that in the Piedmont now, we have at least around 16 or 17 assemblies, and the Durham and Greensboro ones are amongst the largest in the country of assemblies meeting alone in the Lord's name. I met another real Job's comforter long about that time, and when he heard I was going down, he said, "You know, Brother Harold, it's all right for a single man to go down where there are no assemblies. But," he said, "you're married, you'll have a family, you'll starve to death." No, he said, "a single man doesn't have many responsibilities. It's all right for him to go." Well, I admit I've stayed rather lean through the years, but it's not through lack of food. The Lord has certainly seen to it that I haven't starved by any means. I haven't missed a meal. In these over 30 years, it's been my privilege to preach throughout the South. And God has not only given us a family, but He's given us the privilege of seeing the two older boys get a college education, and the third one on his way, and we have done that without any scholarships or subsidies, anything at all, just the way you would have to do it, by doing without a few things ourselves and putting it through. I have a number of friends throughout the country who are rather wealthy. And I have news for you. If I were to depend on them, I would have starved. But I haven't been dependent on any of my well-to-do brethren. I've been dependent on the Lord. Is thy God able to raise up assemblies? He is. Is thy God able to take care of his servants? He is. And you know, I don't need and possibly shouldn't even refer to it. But you know that 15 months ago, I faced an operation that cost us several thousand dollars. And for 15 months now, I've not been able to perform my usual work. Now, that's rather a test. But I want to say to the glory of God that the hospital bill is paid, the medical bill is paid, we have not missed one payment on our mortgage, and we haven't missed a meal. All to the glory and faithfulness of God. Is thy God able to take care of you when you can't work? He is. He's able. If we're in his will, in sickness or in health, God, our God, is able to do. Now I was thinking about the assembly. And I thought of the time when Brother Wilson came here. And I helped him pitch the first tent over on Wharton Street here. That's 25 years ago and more. And I remember well. It wasn't an easy city to begin the gospel in. There were certain things contributed to the difficulties that were no need of us going into. But I well remember when our brother who stayed with us during the first few months would come back again, and we'd ask him, well, how many do you have tonight? Six? How many do you have tonight? Eight? And they got a tremendous crowd one night, I think they had 15. He had brought about six of those in the car with him. But things were really picking up. But is thy God able? Yes, God is able. And God saved a good number of souls and raised up this assembly here. You know when this, many of you younger ones don't know, but when this building was purchased, the original owners of it fully expected to have it back in their hands again. Because you see, there was just a small handful, and they were all poor folks, comparatively speaking, and they made a very gracious arrangement that the payments that were made on this building would just go for rent. If they were not able to continue them, you see. It would just be considered rent. Everybody would be happy about it. It would be perfectly honest and honorable. But to the payments not only have been kept up, but the building's been cleared off. And the additions have been put to it. Is thy God able to give a building to his people when they need it to carry on for him? Our God is able. But then, you know, this is a fly-by-night thing. These preachers that come along and pitch tents. Well, that's all right, but they're just coming to feather their own nest and fill their own pockets, and they'll leave. And after you leave your church and follow them, they'll pick up and leave you, and you'll be left in the lurch. Remember when they told you that, you older ones? But is our God able to carry on his work? Well, it's almost 25 or 27 years now, and Brother Wilson's been gone quite a few years, and has established a good many other assemblies, and the work of God is going on. Is God able to carry on his work? He is. Is thy God able? Yes. And we could remind our hearts of many other things where the faithfulness of God has been manifested in our individual lives, in the assembly testimony here. Is our God evil? He is. Brethren and sisters, whether it be personal tests or whether it be assembly testimony, our God is able. And the thing for us to do is to get our eyes on Him and keep our eyes on Him. That's one reason I read about the experience of these three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know the story again. It's another of those thrilling ones that we learned in Sunday school. And we were refreshing our minds as to how Nebuchadnezzar heard about them refusing to bow. He thought it was possibly an oversight. And he gave them a second chance. Now said he were going to strike up the music again. And just as soon as the orchestra burst out, now you bend. You bow now. Everybody else is doing it. Go with the crowd. Don't be a square and stand up when everybody else is bowing. Now you bow. What do these three young fellows do? Well, I'm awfully glad that they had good backbones. You know, they had backbones all the way up their back. And they couldn't bend them at the command of the king when the word of God said not to. So they said, now, O king, we're not careful to answer thee. That is, we don't have any carefully prepared speech. Here's just the answer of our hearts. Our God is able to deliver us out of the burning fiery furnace. But if not what? Not if not, if he's not able. No. But if he doesn't see fit. You see, sometimes God doesn't deliver us. Sometimes God permits us to go through a trial and a test. What are we to do then? Well, what did these young men say? Now, if not, if he doesn't see fit to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, he's well able to do it. We know that. Haven't a doubt at all. But if he doesn't see fit to do it, O king, we're not going to bow. We're not going to bow. We're not going to save our necks and our skins at the expense of disobeying the word of God. My, isn't that a good spirit to have? May we all emulate this wonderful spirit of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, what did God do? You know the story. Why, the king was so enraged by their brave defiance of him that he had it heated up 10 times hotter. So hot that those who were stoking up the fire got consumed themselves. And then they threw them in. And the king looked in and he saw something had stopped him. He said, how many do we throw in there? Three? I see four. Four. And the form of the fourth is like unto the Son of God. Yes. Sometimes God delivers us out of it. If he doesn't, he comes and walks with us in it. You see? You and I have no guarantee that we'll be delivered from every testing and every trial. We have the promise that he will walk with us. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the floods, they shall not overflow thee. When thou passest through the fire, it shall not kindle upon thee. Yes? Sometimes, and we must leave it with his wisdom, he knows best. Sometimes he delivers us out of it. Sometimes he says, go through it, and I'll go through it with you. And I wouldn't like to be the one that has to decide which is the better of the two. But thank God, when it comes to that which is for the glory of his name, Our God is able. It does me good to see this monarch, Nebuchadnezzar, the mightiest monarch of the day, and one of the greatest of the leaders of men in all history. Here he is down peering into the mouth of this den of lions and piteously saying, "Oh, Daniel, whom is the God whom thou servest continually, is he able to deliver you?" And I love to hear that voice coming back again from the den. "O King, live forever. My God has sent his angel and shut the mouths of the lion." Brothers and sisters, is our God able? Yes. Do we have to bow to the things of the world? No. Can we trust God if we're willing to stand upright for what we believe to be of God? We can. As long as we know that we're doing what's the will of God, brethren, we've got a God that's able. We've got a God that's willing, and a God that can and will do for us all that'll bring glory to his name. You know, I want to say what I have said in different ways a number of times recently. I believe that right now, and in the months that lie ahead of us, this assembly is faced with a very real challenge to move forward for God, to retain tenaciously and faithfully our scriptural principles. It doesn't matter whether others obey them, we've got to obey them. You see? All the others in that vast crowd, they bowed. It's the popular thing to do. Said Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it may be popular down here, it's not up there. We serve the one up there, and we're not going to bow. So it doesn't matter, brothers and sisters, what others do. It's what God has commanded us to do. And if we do that, and follow that, we've got a God who's able to do what the world can't imagine. Now let's get our eyes on this God. And I believe, I've had the feeling for quite some time, that right now, quite a number of people in Greensboro, saved and unsaved, they may not even have expressed it audibly, but in their heart they're saying something like this: is their God able? Is their God able? Now, it's one thing for a small handful of Christians to buy a second-hand building. That was a real step of faith. But as the work has grown and grown and grown and grown until we are known throughout the city as a fundamental group of believers, it has become necessary for us, if we're going to move forward and meet the challenge of tomorrow, it's necessary for us to have a larger building, a more modern building, a building that will be more suited for getting people in today that we might move forward. Well, I believe in the hearts of a lot of Greensboro people, they're saying, is their God able? You know, they're a queer bunch over there. They don't take up collections. Yeah, but wait till they start putting up a new building. Wait till they put up a new building. Over there, they don't take pledges. Yes, over there, they don't put the pressure on for money. Well, that's all right, you see. They just have a little second-hand plant. Wait till they try to modernize. Wait till they try and grow. They'll have to discard their principles. Brethren, we don't have to discard one principle of the Word of God. Is our God able? He is. I believe we have a tremendous opportunity to be a testimony for God. And if we move forward in faith in God with a desire to please and honor Him, God will get the glory. Now we can do it, brother. I believe that we can keep our balance. You know as well as I do, I live in a modest little home. I paid less than $13,000 for my home. I'm happy in it. Very happy. Perfectly satisfied. I don't need a bigger one. I could even do a little smaller one now. I don't want a thing more for myself. I've got a car that's got almost 100,000 miles. As long as it starts when I step on the starter, I'm satisfied. I don't want a bigger car. I'll have to get a new one sometime when I do the Lord for that. I don't want any bigger things for myself. The Lord is my witness. I'm no more ambitious for the things of this world than I was 35 years ago. Maybe not quite as much. But when it comes to things of God, brethren, let's move forward. Is our God able? He is. He's able to give us what we need without discarding one principle, without changing our emphasis from spiritual to material. Our God is able. He's been doing it. He's going to do it. And to prove that we are going to keep the emphasis on the spiritual, we have scheduled these special meetings for October. Now, brethren, that's going to take money as well as work and prayer. But you see, we're not going to hoard our money and put it just in the building. We're after souls. We're going to have one more campaign here. It'll be our, under God, it'll be our last effort to win souls to Christ here in the Forest Avenue Tabernacle. Now, God saved a lot of souls here. He saved a lot before we came here. He saved a lot since we came here. Now we got one more special effort. I hope that our hearts will be getting in tune for that, you see. And if we do that, the words have been coming to me, you know. Mr. Worldly Wise Man would say, well, why not save that money and put it into the building? Put it in the building fund. God's word says, them that honor me, I will honor. If we go out for souls, brethren, and see souls saved, God will take care of the dollars and cents when it comes to that big building we're going to have to put up. It's a challenge, but it's a challenge to the resourcefulness of God. And brethren, He's able. Some time ago, after real prayer and exercise, we felt that we should set a goal by the end of this year of $50,000. Now that seems a lot of money. It is a lot of money. And we older folks who know what it is to pinch dollars and pennies until they shriek for mercy, it seems a terrific lot to us, and it is. But I want to tell you by the end of this month we'll have 40 of it. You see? That means 10 more in the next 4 months. I don't know whether it's the higher mathematics. I haven't taken enough of the old-fashioned mathematics that I was taught. That figures out to $2,500 a month. I don't know what the IBMs would make it. If they make it any smaller, I'd like to get it. But it figures out with me $2,500 a month. That's a whole lot of money. You know the only thing bigger than that? God. God. You say, where's it going to come from? It's going to come from God. That's where it's going to come from. I don't know what channels it's going to come through. You know, that's one thing that God has taught me through the years. Never get occupied with channels. Always keep your eye on the source. I have through the years had those who have very faithfully contributed to my support in the work of the Lord. One after another, they died. They didn't leave me anything. They gave it to me while they were living, and I was very thankful for that. But one after another, I've seen them die. Now, suppose my eyes had been on them. I've been going around in sackcloth and ashes. What's the matter, Brother McGinn? Brother so-and-so died. Well, what of it? Well, that's just it. But you know, there's one person that hasn't died, and that's God. It's said of Martin Luther that one time he was very discouraged. So far down, he just couldn't get up. And he came in one day, and his wife was all dressed in black. The custom then, of course, was to put on black for mourning. And she was all dressed in black. And Martin got all excited. He said, "My dear, who's dead? Who's dead?" She said, "God." He said, "What blasphemy. What blasphemy to say that God's dead." Well, she said, "Martin, you've been acting as though he was." So I thought I'd just go to his funeral. Yes. Is God alive? Certainly he is the living God. Are we obeying him? If we're not, we better start. And if we do, we can answer the question, is thy God able? He is. He is. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that Thou art the infinite, omnipotent God, the unchanging One, who is always delighted to pick up that which is unworthy, that which in itself is quite unfit for the task at hand, and use it for thy glory. Thou hast chosen the weak things of this world, the things that are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in thy sight. And our fathers, we look back over the past years, how much we have to praise and thank thee for. Thou hast been a good God. Thou hast been a gracious God. Thou hast been a great God. Oh, that we had trusted thee more. Oh, that we had obeyed thee more fully. That we'd walk more in thy ways, that thou mightest have thy way more with us. But for what has been done in the lives of each one of these Christians, we thank thee, our God. And for what has been done in these families represented here. For what has been done in this assembly, we thank thee, Father. And we commit ourselves to thee for the future. O God, help us to obey thee, to follow thee, to move forward for thee. And we know that when at last our little day of service is ended, we shall not regret at all anything that has been done for thee, no matter what it has cost us. But we shall regret those many wasted opportunities that we've allowed to let slip by from us. Our Father, again we pray that thou wilt abundantly bless all of thy people. We think of our dear sick ones and pray that thy good hand of blessing may be on them. Lord, raise them up again, if it be thy holy will. Make them monuments of thy transforming power, even in the physical area, if it will be to thy glory, Lord. And give them grace and strength and courage when they're called upon to suffer. We ask, committing ourselves to thy care and keeping now, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Service is over. We hope that you'll be back on Sunday now with someone.